Hello, everyone. This is Gwenda Bond from the Cabinet Communications Office, and thank you for joining us on this call today. If you need to reference anything after the fact, we'll put a recording of this up on Health Alerts this afternoon as soon as we conclude. I'm going to turn things over to Dr. Craig Humbaugh, our Senior Deputy Commissioner at the Department for Public Health, who most of you know probably already and have talked to before, to give an update on the flu, and then we'll take your questions. I've got a number of questions already, but if you want to send in a question during the call, you can send that to my email address, which is gwenda.bond@ky.gov, or to barbaraj.fox@ky.gov. And just so you have Dr. Humbaugh's name spelled correctly, it's K-R-A-I-G, and his last name is H-U-M-B-A-U-G-H. So now I'm going to turn it over to him.
Thanks, Gwenda, and folks, it's good to be with you today to talk a little bit about our influenza season and what's progressing here in Kentucky. So I'll start out with saying, and I think most of you know this, but this is the fifth week in a row that the level of influenza activity in Kentucky has been at widespread, and that's the highest level of activity that we report to CDC. We report on a weekly basis. You'll see, if you look at CDC's website, that we're not alone, that other states are also reporting high levels of influenza activity. And that's not so unusual for this time of year, so we normally reach widespread or peak activity in January. What is a bit unusual is that we started to report widespread activity in the early part of December and have continued to report it then for these last 5 weeks. So it started a bit earlier this season, and we can talk about that some more if you'd like. A lot of times folks ask us how we determine the level of activity in the state. So we gauge that really through a combination of things. We examine the data sets that have to do with numbers of cases that are confirmed and look at lab results. But primarily, we do it by using the reports that come to us weekly from what we call sentinel sites. That's how we do medical surveillance in general with the flu. And these are clinical sites. They're selected doctor's offices and local health departments across the Commonwealth that graciously provide us with information concerning the number of influenza-like illnesses that they are seeing in their practices each week. Most influenza is not diagnosed by confirmatory laboratory tests, and it really doesn't have to be, especially when flu is circulating widely like it is now. If patients have the classic signs and symptoms of flu, then providers often simply make a clinical diagnosis, which is one based on the patient's history and physical examination. So the numbers of positive tests, people often talk about those or focus on those, but they're really a small number, and they're reflective of a much greater number of actual cases that are occurring in the regions and in the state. When we say that the activity is widespread, that is also means that it's widespread geographically, so we're seeing either increasing or high levels of activity in the majority of the ad districts throughout the state. I know most of you know this, but let me talk briefly about how flu is transmitted or spread. It's spread when tiny droplets are expelled when a person who's infected coughs or sneezes, and then these are breathed in by a person who's susceptible. It's also spread when a person touches an object that's contaminated with flu germs, with flu virus, and then puts his or her hands in his mouth or in the nose. So those are the two primary ways that the flu virus is spread. The classic signs and symptoms of the flu are usually fever, muscle aches, headaches, and cough. The beginning of the illness can often mimic other illnesses that circulate this time of year, so that's important to remember. But generally, the flu, the real true flu, has those classic symptoms and often lasts 7 to 10 days. And most people recover from the disease, well, but it can obviously impact family and work life when it lasts for that long. Some persons are more vulnerable to the flu than others. In general, the types of people that are likely to experience severe illness are the young, the elderly, pregnant women, and people with chronic illnesses. That's why we especially want those folks to receive a flu vaccination each year. And as you'll note, a lot of those types of people, especially people with chronic illnesses, a lot of people in Kentucky fall into one of those categories, is either being young, elderly, having a chronic illness, or being pregnant. Unfortunately, today, the Department for Public Health is reporting that as of yesterday, we've received reports of 26 deaths of Kentuckians which are flu-related. We also have, so far this season, 64 outbreaks that have been reported in long-term care facilities that were due to influenza. So, you know, based on that, certainly influenza can take a toll, especially among our most vulnerable populations. There are several actions that people can take and should take to avoid getting sick with the flu. The first and number one most important is getting a flu vaccination. And even though this year's flu vaccine is not as well matched to covering the circulating strains as we'd like to see, it's still the best way to help prevent the flu. The body produces antibodies against the virus after a vaccination, and this is what protects people from the flu. But that takes about 10 days to 2 weeks for those antibodies to be produced. So people who have procrastinated, let me say, in obtaining a flu vaccine, this is a great time to get it. It's certainly not too late to get it because we cannot predict how long we'll continue to see widespread activity here in Kentucky. Another way to prevent getting sick with the flu is to wash your hands well and often. The old advice that your mother gave you still applies and also applies to other germs that circulate in this time of year that are spread by the respiratory manner. Don't unnecessarily touch your nose and mouth. That's another, I think, important key to prevention of getting sick with the flu. And finally, if you can, avoid large crowds or places where you might come into contact with sick people. I think practicing all these behaviors will help to reduce a person's risk of infection. In addition, to limit the spread of the flu, people should cough or sneeze into their elbows or sleeves, and sick people should stay home from work or school. We've talked about all those types of activities in the past. One other thing I'd like to mention before we open it up for questions is that people who are sick with the flu can potentially benefit from an antiviral medication, such as Tamiflu or Relenza. However, to be most effective, these medicines should be taken early in the course of an illness with the flu, and they are by prescription only, so health providers would be the ones to decide if patients might benefit from an antiviral medication. So let me talk just a little bit more about the demographics of the flu deaths that you might have questions about. So of the 26 people that have been reported to us, again, these are the ones that we know about who are flu-related, and that means that they either died of the flu or of complications of the flu, or their death was associated with the flu, so it could have been indirectly or directly. Of those folks, the 26 folks, two of them are pediatric deaths, that's children under 18 years. Five are people that are age 18 to 64 years, and then the rest, which are 19, are age 65 and older. And of those, actually, eight are over 90 years of age that have been reported. So this is not surprising, unfortunately, the group that's the most highly impacted with negative adverse consequences of the flu normally is the elderly, those over 65. They have the highest risk of being hospitalized with from the flu. In terms of gender, about 65% of the deaths were female, and the remainder were male. So that may give you some idea. They occurred all throughout the state. We're not going to talk about specific counties because we have many on our list, but they have unfortunately been reported from the west, from the east, the central part of the state, and the northern part of the state. So all areas of the state have been affected by flu deaths and have been affected by the circulating flu this year. So Glenda, why don't we open it up for questions, and you may have already received some questions by email.
Yes, I've gotten several questions, and if you and a lot of them overlap, but if you think that you have something that probably hasn't been asked yet, feel free to go ahead and send that now. Our first questions are from Bruce Schreiner at the Associated Press. He wants to know if we have any sense of how this compares to the death counts that we had last year, if we have a number of deaths that were reported for 2014, and if there's any kind of record high number that we've had in years past.
Yeah. So in the past, we have in general only reported or asked healthcare providers across the state, laboratories and hospitals, to report pediatric deaths up until about last year. And last year we started to ask providers if they would report all deaths, including adults, that they felt were influenza related. And so really we don't have good data before last year. But last year we had approximately 50 deaths that were flu-related in the flu season of last year. So unfortunately, we've already got just about half of that total this year, and we're not quite halfway through our flu season. We're continuing to report widespread activity. So, you know, in my opinion, we are, at least this year compared to last year, is more severe so far. At least it's also we're at widespread activity. We've been at widespread activity for a longer period of time. However, when you compare it to the pandemic flu season, which was 2009-2010, it certainly has not lasted as long as that and does not seem to be as severe.
Right. Okay. My next question is from Lori Barrett at WPSD, and we got this question from several other people too. Are there any specific parts of the state experiencing more cases of the flu? And if so, would we know why it's higher in some areas than others?
Yeah, there's not really a geographical predilection at this point. As we talked about, unfortunately, we've seen long-term care facilities reporting the illness across the state. We've also seen deaths reported across the state, and we've gotten cases of confirmed flu from all the areas. So the answer is really it's widespread, and that's just what it means.
And I had a few people that sent in questions about their specific county. You could always feel free to contact your local health department. They may have very localized information that they can give you. And we get reports from all of the local health departments, and that goes into determining that flu activity level, but we always encourage you to reach out to them. Okay, next question is from Darla Carter at the Courier-Journal. I think we answered your first two, Darla, already. Have we heard of any Tamiflu shortages?
We have not heard of any shortages other than spot shortages, and by that I mean there have been some maybe distribution challenges. So there doesn't appear to be any nationwide shortage, but it might be difficult to get this particular antiviral medication on a dime if ordered through distributors. And so that may be the issue, but we haven't heard of any widespread shortages of Tamiflu, and as far as we know, Relenza is widely available.
Okay. Okay. Darla also asked, is the current flu shot effective against the H3N2 strain circulating most this year?
Mm-hmm. So we touched upon that before, but that has been part of the challenge this year is that this season may be exacerbated by the fact that the vaccine didn't provide as good a coverage as we hoped for the H3 subtype that's the most commonly circulating this year. There is another H3 subtype that is circulating. It's not as prominent. It is well covered by the vaccine, but the one that is primarily circulating is unfortunately not as good a match as we would hope with the coverage provided by the vaccine. However, there is cross-reactivity, and certainly the vaccine, again, as we talked about, I really recommend the vaccine, even if for that particular strain it didn't prevent the flu, it might reduce the complications or severity of the illness.
Great. And so next question is from Mary Behan at the Herald Leader. She asked about strains, which I think we just covered.
Mm-hmm.
She also asked, is there any shortage of flu vaccine that we know of anywhere in the state, or is there still plenty of vaccine available?
It should be widely available in the state. I would call your provider or your pharmacy or wherever, or your local health department or wherever you plan to get it, just to double check before you go. But in most communities, it should still be available. There was plenty of vaccine that was produced by several different manufacturers. It was FDA approved for this year's season.
Okay. Next, we have Paul Miles from WHAS, who he asked about deaths compared to this time last year, and I think
mm-hmm.
we covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Any number or percentages of Kentuckians who received the vaccine this year or who typically received the vaccine in a given year?
Mm-hmm. So I can talk about typical, but unfortunately cannot say what's happening. We don't have the data for this year's season. But typically, around 70% of our seniors, those are folks 65 years of age and older, do receive a flu vaccination. That's the group that has the best coverage in Kentucky. Of course, we'd like to see that as 100% because those are the folks who are the most vulnerable, and we've just talked about those are the folks that are most prone to be hospitalized, that group with influenza. We would like to see coverage increase in all of the age groups, but overall about 46% of Kentuckians 6 months of age and older get a flu vaccine. We'd love to see that over 50% and certainly approaching 100% if we could. Again, I'll remind folks, practically anyone 6 months of age and older can receive a flu vaccine, and flu vaccine should be given or received each flu season. I think most of you know that.
One follow-up question from Mary Meehan at the Herald Leader. She wants to know if there are any special precautions that we recommend are being taken at long-term care facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. Our long-term care facilities have been excellent about reporting problems, outbreaks, or one or more cases in their facilities this year and seeking advice on how to control these types of outbreaks, that I think they're doing a better job reporting, which is probably why we're getting more reports of flu in long-term care facilities, and we actually have given them information when they call, but we're also doing some statewide calls just with hospitals and long-term care facilities to reiterate the points about how to control outbreaks once they start. The other thing I'll add is that we want to make sure that we get the message across to people that if they're sick, they shouldn't be visiting loved ones at long-term care facilities, and they should respect rules that long-term care facilities may establish. If they're having an outbreak, they may want to limit visitors to the facility and limit activities among the residents to better control the outbreak.
Okay, this is going to be the last question, so if you have a question that hasn't been answered, now is the time to send it. Gwenda.bond@ky.gov. So this is just a clarification point from Laurel Mallory at Wave 3. She would like to know, when we say last year compared to this year, do we mean last flu season compared to this flu season, and when exactly does the flu season run?
Yes, we do. It's exactly right. When we say last year versus this year, we're really talking about seasons. So it would be more correct for me to say last season versus this season. Our flu seasons generally run from October to about May. This year we reported our first confirmed influenza case in Kentucky either the first or second week. It was early October, that is not uncommon for us, and we still continue to see cases most years through May.
Oh, that means plenty of time left to get the flu vaccine if you haven't. All right, I don't think we have any more questions. If anybody thinks of anything afterward, feel free to contact us. And thanks for participating. We'll put the audio for this call up on Health Alert within the next hour or so. So thanks. Bye.
The leader has left the call. At the leader's request, this conference will now end. Thank you for using Loop Up. Goodbye.